Social distancing got you down? Tired of scrolling the same bad news? Miss your local music scene? Well, we've got you covered. Digital video experts Front Row Seat Productions and podcast gurus New Pod City have teamed up to bring you Feed the Music Livestream, a brand new platform that brings the live music event directly into your home. Now you can live stream your favorite local music venue for only $5. The money collected goes to support the musicians performing the music. That's right, your $5 subscription goes a long way. From getting a front row seat at the live event, to access of the recording for 30 days after, bonus swag, and most importantly, financially supporting the musicians. Sign up today at feedthemusiclivestream.com.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Please welcome this week's guest host, James Peoples.
Trentonians, yes, we are here again. How are you feeling today? You all right?
I'm fine.
Got an interesting bunch in the studio today. Much like last time.
It's a bunch of mixed nuts.
A bunch of mixed nuts. That's right. I'm just still looking for the cashew. But in any event, we are teaming up, sort of like last time, with the IF podcast. Host James Peoples is with us. Hello, James.
Good afternoon, everyone.
We have a very special guest here with us today. The mayor of Trenton, New Jersey, Reed Gusciora. From episode one, hop on the Gus bus. Welcome back, my man. How are you?
We are here. Good, good, good.
Fabulous job so far being mayor.
It's not without its challenges, and this is probably something that we've never seen in our lifetime. And
You talking about my studio?
Studio.
Oh, the coronavirus.
Oh, the coronavirus.
Yes, exactly. James, I'm gonna give it over to you to get this going.
Thank you, Frank.
James Peoples, IF Podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is James Peoples from the Infinitely Focused Podcast. And a couple of days ago, I was listening to NPR, and they had an interview one with a guy named Richard Florida, I believe is his name. And he is a student of cities and city development. And he was talking about the shape of cities to come after the coronavirus. And so I made a foray out to Mayor Reed, and we put this together very, very quickly to have everyone in the room so we could have an opportunity to talk about the city of Trenton specifically and what the shape of the city, what he proposes for the shape of the city to come. I'm going to leave some room in here for the mayor to answer some questions that we know that are out there, but there's some specific things that I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at those articles. If you want to look for it, again, I believe it was Innovation Hub was the podcast, and it was How the Coronavirus Will Shape Our Cities. You get a chance to go look for that, and you want to look for some of the information. If you look up Richard Florida, you can find some additional information about him. But I'm going to turn this over right now to the mayor, because I believe he has a couple of things that he wants to say to everyone first, and we'll get into some of the questions that I have coming from some of those things that Richard Florida said.
Well, unfortunately, this pandemic seems to be spreading further and further into the Trenton area. Today, we have 14 reported positive cases. Only days ago, we had less than seven. This will probably double every couple of days. The big concern about the city is that we have more than a dozen towers, many senior towers. If one person becomes infected, it could spread rapidly through the towers. So,
Mayor, can I ask you real quick, are any of those cases in any of the nursing homes? I do have a friend who works in one of the nursing homes in the city and said to me the other night that she did have a confirmed case in one of the nursing homes.
There was a receptionist. Thank God it wasn't the actual patient, but it was a receptionist who turned out to be positive, was not a resident of the city. But everybody really, really has to treat this serious. This is a highly contagious disease. If any one of us in this room have it, we would have it by the end of this hour. For every person who's infected, they'll probably infect at least four others, because there's a time lab from day one to day five at a minimum before you would exhibit any real symptoms. It has a rapid turnaround. Here I hear reports of a 30-year-old in New York, so 24 hours went into ICU in a hospital. So it really strikes hard. So I would really urge everyone to wash their hands, keep your social distancing, and just take as many precautions as possible. If you go to the food market, somebody could be coughing and 2 seconds later you'll walk right through that mist. So it's transmitted orally by the mouth or left on surfaces. It could stay in the air up to an hour. It could stay on surfaces for up to 48 hours, depending on the surfaces or whether they're wood, even though they'll remain on paper. So please take precautions. Keep your social distancing and take this very seriously. And a lot of the young people feel they're invincible. You'll see in the neighborhoods in Trenton at night, sometimes you'll have young people congregating on the corners. If any one of them become infected, it's whether they care about themselves or not, they still have to go home. They have parents, they have grandparents, and those are the most vulnerable population. So we hope we can get through this. We have been preparing. Actually, we were going to have the second annual Chinese New Year's, January 25th, and the Chinese community themselves who came in to celebrate asked us to cancel. And after that, it really hit home that this thing was coming. So we were in the realization of this a month before even the president was talking about this. And we've been preparing our health department. Every department in the city is dedicated to fighting this and making it more comfortable for Trenton residents.
Reed, I've known you for a number of years, and sitting across the table from me right now, and we are all well distanced from each other, as you guys can probably see on the Facebook live feed. I've known you for a couple of years, and you look visibly shaken to me right now. You look less exuberant than I normally see you, and I hear a soberness in your voice. I understand that you are taking this very, very seriously. You say that all departments within the city are taking this seriously. So if we look at things that other places are doing, or that people are doing generally in their lives, when they get out and they can take a walk, or when they get out and they can telework, or they can do other things like that, are you looking at implementing things like that within the city? And I've noticed a couple of weeks ago, there was a large gathering in Cadwalader Park, which I felt was really something that made me uncomfortable. I live in the West Ward, and so that was one of the things that made me uncomfortable. But I did also notice that there are now barricades across the main entrance to the park. I think that open spaces and things like that are going to become crucial to people as we move into a need to remain physically different, not socially distant. We're all pretty socially distant in a lot of ways. I want to try and change that. We're physically distant from each other right now, and that's okay. But what are you looking at in terms of how city departments are going to change, and how I'm a contractor, we have to come in and we have to deal with the staff within City Hall? How is that going to change? What's going to happen in terms of monitoring people's temperature in the future as they come into the building and all those other types of things? These are things that Richard Florida talked about, how infrastructure is going to change. So what do you think is going to happen as we look at things like open spaces or work within City Hall or work within other city departments where people actually need to go and interact with other human beings?
People are going to have to be more self-subservient, and they're also going to have to do a lot of things virtually. Zoom is the latest app that has taken off. We have closed City Hall to outside visitors. We encourage payment online. We encourage people to call ahead. Even doctors have closed their offices to patients and do telemedicine. Mm-hmm. So as far as opportunities from it, I think the educational system will change. Kids are learning now to learn online, to be more self-sufficient. One of the bright spots, if there is one, Comcast has offered free internet during this pandemic. We're going to try to even expand that further.
I'm grateful to
have Wi-Fi downtown so that anywhere you're there, it would be a hotspot for internet and Wi-Fi.
That was talked about a while ago. I mean, there are previous administrations that actually talked about a metropolitan. I know because I'm tied into the IT field and I'm a contractor here in the city. Philadelphia for a while did have a public Wi-Fi that was available throughout the city. And we looked at it here as a proposal to try and put before the city council. It never really took off, but it was one of those things that really should be. There should be a wide area network that is available. I'd like to see if you can say whether or not you're going to try and push Comcast to make that. I mean, someone posted about a week ago, you know, we're finding out how capitalism has kind of failed because now everyone is realizing that things like the internet should be a utility. It shouldn't be something that is necessarily restricted from someone. It should be a utility that everyone has access to. But sadly, there are aspects or there are areas of the city where that utility is not reachable by a lot of students.
Absolutely. And these are one where you could carpe diem, seize the day, mm-hmm. and try to get this stuff done where you ordinarily wouldn't.
Absolutely.
Our vision is to create an arts district on East Hanover.
Yes.
And right now we need alternate housing on an emergency basis. If one of the rescue missions got one infected homeless person, then they have to be quarantined elsewhere. So one of the things is, like, for instance, we're looking at the Y, which has been shutted down. We would use FEMA dollars to help renovate that. And the 70 apartments behind the Y would be temporary emergency housing. When you think about it afterwards, some of the uses could be a dorm for Mercer County College. I know Dr. Wong would love to have a dorm. She, ironically, has recruited students from China. They don't have any place to live. So imagine in a couple of years from now that you have 70 dorm rooms. You could really brighten up that area and help move that arts district along. Those are some of the benefits where you turn around a tragedy and do that. We also are looking at the convent that was between Division and Chestnut Street. That has been shuttered, and we want to utilize that for temporary housing. And if we are renovating these buildings for this purpose, we can then have long-term housing options in the long run. We also are looking at the medical arts building. We went to Mercer Hospital. We've toured it twice. It's impossible to renovate that. The pipes are missing. It's literally mold all over the place.
Okay.
The place is deteriorated.
It's a shame that has fallen into disrepair in this period of time, because that would be an ideal place.
Absolutely.
To reopen and to make available. What about...
But, wait a minute. Yeah. Across the street is the medical arts building.
Correct.
Where they had doctor's offices.
Yes.
Those we can renovate, and we're talking to the state about possibly taking that over, and that could be a mini hospital. We hope that doesn't get to that point, but we have to provide emergency alternate treatment facilities, and that's why we're looking at all of these buildings. And then if you want to look at what after this pandemic is over, you'll have renovated buildings that could be turned around and developed.
Who will have ownership of those buildings? Who currently has ownership of those buildings? Because if we're going to talk about things that are currently in private hands, I'm going to ask you about a big hotel that is sitting down there that is probably in private hands, used to be in city hands, and if it was still in city hands, we'd have a place to use right now. What about that hotel?
The hotel is missing pipes and had a flood on the fourth floor, so it equally has some mold issues and some structural challenges.
Nothing to it.
Nonetheless, if you had a commitment from the federal government, the Army Corps of Engineers, if we were a site that was selected, they could really commit the resources. We couldn't do something like that because you'd have to renovate it within a week and have it up and running.
How much backing do you have from intermediary levels between you and the federal government to try and bring those types of resources into the city of Trenton?
We're in constant contact with Bonnie Watson Coleman's office and Congresswoman herself. I have frequent phone calls with her. Even Chris Smith has offered to pitch in when he can. We've had conversations with FEMA, the National Guard. We've had our staffers even call the White House for a direction of funds and programs that are coming out. We started a mobile testing site before the county was able to open theirs, and hopefully theirs will be open next week.
Where is that going to be located, Mayor?
The county one is going to be open in Quaker Ridge Mall. Nonetheless, the Trenton Health Team, which is the umbrella medical community that includes St. Francis, Henry J. Austin, and Capital Health, they are committed to opening a testing site for the general population in Trenton in the next couple of weeks. So we're excited, and we're working with the Trenton Health Team to get that up and running.
Mayor, what opportunity does the newly opened Thomas Edison offer as a location? Is that something that has been considered? Is that something that's been in conversation?
Because the counties is such an undertaking, they'll need about 50 people to run their test site. So they've reached out to the various nursing schools and asked them to commit some nursing students. One of the big challenges for even the hospital is the tightening of personnel. If one nurse becomes exposed, she or he has to go on quarantine for 14 days. That puts a critical care specialist out of commission for 14 days. So they're starting to look at the nursing schools to supplement the personnel that we have in the two hospitals.
Well, not just the nursing school, but I would figure if those are clinical training classes, could that building be turned around and used in some way to house any of the sick people that we have within the city? If they're used for that type of diagnostic work anyway. I've not toured the facility, so I have no idea, but just giving some thought to that.
Absolutely. Those discussions have had. And again, when you want to talk about what the future is, many of our high school students will choose nursing as a field. One, just by watching the medical community on the news every night, it also has people thinking about the medicine field as an opportunity in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be an encouragement for more and opportunities at the same time to get in the nursing field or the medicine field in the future.
I know that the schools are shuttered right now, and there's a brand new facility that's just been built for Trenton Central High School. Is there a look at how anything within the school building itself could be utilized, maybe one of the gymnasium spaces or something else like that, as a triage point? But also, if we're going to look at this long term or we're going to look at it for the future, what's being put in place in terms of looking at those students who may, when they finally do come back to class, do decide they want to take that path? One of the things that has concerned me about this whole thing is there are some places where I know from reports that I've heard that parents have been given the ability to hold their children back if they want because they're not going to get to finish their year the way that they should. So let's think about it like this. Trenton Central High School, very large facility, very large number of students. Some parents decide to hold their kids back. Now we've got an issue where we have to physically distance ourselves, but we've just added 40 new eighth graders or 40 old eighth graders to the incoming 80 eighth graders, where eighth grade was only designed to hold 80 kids. Now we've got 120. We can't physically distance them from each other in the same way. We've got overcrowding situations. So if those things happen, if there are those people who essentially get redshirted by their parents in order for them to be held back so that they can either progress differently in sports because they were going for a sports scholarship or they're going for an academic scholarship, and this is going to interrupt their education, has anyone been talking with the Department of Education about what's going to happen when those additional students are added back to the classrooms within the city of Trenton? If no one's given thought to this, let me be the first to say to you, this is something that someone should be considering, because class size may double or triple depending upon what decisions parents make or depending upon how people graduate or don't graduate.
We're having those discussions. I had a conversation with the school superintendent this morning. Everybody has to make adjustments. The Olympics just made an adjustment that they're postponing their games for next year. This is something that we will be analyzing.
It's interesting because these are some of the things, again, in listening to that podcast yesterday and then going to look at Richard Florida's City Lab, which is an interesting website. I recommend any of the listeners here to go look at and for everyone to do a little bit of research. One of the things that he talked about was, what's going to happen in the future? How are we going to redesign things like restaurants? What does that mean for the burgeoning restaurants that were just coming online here in the city of Trenton? What economic stimulus, what money do you see coming in, or what monies are you pursuing right now? What types of money is coming in from the government that will allow us to be able to help out Main Street? Because that's really one of the big things that's going to happen. The small restaurants and the other things that all of us around this table love to go to and all of us enjoy having an opportunity to dine at. If we can't sit close to each other, how do those restaurants survive? Plans for new restaurants have probably been shelved. Plans for expansion have been shelved. And again, this is part of what Florida talked about, and this is part of the reason why I wanted to have you on my show, is because my show is about not what happens to you, but how you react to what happens to you. You know, what you do next. And so the question became, what comes next for the city of Trenton? What is going to be the shape of the city of Trenton? What do you propose for that shape to be?
We have urban enterprise zones and that have been collecting money for the last many years. We have a couple of $1 million in that account that we were using for business development. What we're going to do is be offering a small business loan up to $20,000. So it will be zero interest the first year. And I know a lot of business people are trying to keep payroll, trying to pay taxes, trying to buy their mortgage. So we hope that the up to $20,000 loan will help them just carry over. They will need startup money to start again, and they're going to restaurants, bars, and even small shops, clothing stores are really going to have to reinvent themselves, and they will look different. You'll have to make sure that their social distancing for the next couple of years will be kept. But at the same time, we have to get this workforce back in gear. That much I agree with the president. So we have a lot of challenges. Again, the science and the medical field, we hope to take off.
Will we be looking at a more innovative approach to science and technology businesses coming into the city? Again, the Thomas Edison facility is one of those things that intrigues me, because I want to know what type of research is actually going to be going on from a medical perspective that may be helpful for any of us around the city, or what opportunities you see coming forward. What are you going to pursue to bring those types of opportunities to the people of the city of
Trenton? Well, James, when you think about it, the key to all this is Bristol-Myers Squibb, Johnson & Johnson, Janssen Pharmaceutical, the Route 1 corridor.
Yes.
And as their business and manufacturing increase, they're going to look for expanded headquarters. Trenton is ideal hub because of the train lines and the highways and the proximity between Philadelphia and New York. Trenton could be that hub.
Why has for it expansion. Not been? I studied political science at Trenton State College in the 80s, and all of these things have been discussed for that period of time. The gentrification of the city of Trenton was supposed to start in Mill Hill and spread to all the neighborhoods. It hasn't. So we're talking 35 years of the possibility and the possibility and the possibility. So we can say that it's possible, but what's going to drive it? What's going to be different coming out of this crisis? When we're talking about people needing to be more distant from each other, but we're talking about relocating maybe a corporate headquarters in a given city, which has a level of congestion and is going to require people to use those mass transit hubs in order to get back and forth, where people are going to want to be distant from each other.
I'm not talking about having even a headquarters, but to have satellite businesses and spinoff businesses that could take over the abandoned Roebling buildings. There are indeed going to be opportunities and places that these pharmaceuticals manufacturing companies are going to look to make a smaller cottage industry so that they themselves are practicing social distancing themselves with buildings.
How do the residents of the city help back any plans, and how do the residents of the city help bring ideas that they have for things like that to you and bring them to the fore? If they know of an opportunity, or if they have an innovative idea that they want to bring forward, is there a forum available? Is there some way that people can get that information, even in our distanced society, so that we can communicate that?
We opened the high school. We had large manufacturers come take a tour of the high school. And what we've been developing is to continue dialogue and to expand internship opportunities so that our students are exposed to the workforce. We've had so many fruitful discussions with the Greater Trenton, an umbrella organization of all the large companies in the area. They have committed real dollars to the city of Trenton, but also sought to establish relationships with our schools and our high school.
Physically distanced students, more students in the school, parents concerned about their kids going back to school. If we're going to look at the high school as being the venue that's going to get people into the pipeline to get into these jobs, and we just talked about some of the challenges coming out of this crisis, how are we going to make sure that that becomes something that is effective for the students of the city of Trenton? Again, just specifically the students that attend Trenton Central High School, if we're talking about the challenges for that school and for those students, when we do open the schools again, how are we going to make that pipeline available to them if they're not going back to class?
Well, one of the things is the good thing about the building itself is broken up to five separate academies that are very distinct and have separate entrances. So that was planned well from that perspective. What I'm more concerned about is when they do the whiz again, which was scheduled last week, they may not have an audience, and the audience may have to watch it remotely, but nonetheless, the performance could go on. We have to think these through. Sporting games.
The arena was one of the things on my list.
Could you have a high school basketball game in the near future? You may be able to have the sport team themselves, but the audience might be lacking. They're developing right now a rapid test for coronavirus that would have a results within 15 minutes to a half hour. If they have mass productions of that, you'll be able to readily test not only athletes, but student performers, student musicians that are in close proximity to each other. But testing will be very important. And again, that creates opportunities. There's one test kit manufacturer in New Jersey, Becton Dickinson. And because of my discussions with them, we're going to be one of the first cities in America that will be getting their products in the coming weeks. They hope to open a new line of testing equipment. The city was proactive with reaching out to the labs. We've called Taiwan, we've called China, looking for personal protection gear and test kits. So we have put Trenton on the map by making these contacts. And we hope that when this is all over, we'll continue to have those contacts, and hopefully they'll be interested in coming into Trenton.
I'm going to actually quote from Richard Florida's How to Adapt Cities to Reopen After Coronavirus. This is his second point. He said, "We need strategies for altering how we use forms of large-scale infrastructure, stadiums, arenas, convention centers, performing arts centers, universities, and schools. Because they bring together large groups of people, all of them will pose risks until the virus is stamped out. City leaders must act to pandemic-proof these assets as much as possible. Class sizes may need to be reduced in schools, audience sizes reduced in theaters, with many seats left open. Masks may be required and made available to patrons as needed, and temperature checks carried out. The sooner such large-scale civic infrastructure can be safely reopened, the faster our urban communities can rebound." That's a quote from Richard Florida's article, and one of the things I was thinking about when you said there are five different entrances to the school. No one liked the idea when it happened in the past, when there were metal detectors at schools within urban environments. I can foresee the day looking at what he's talking about, where there's someone standing basically at the door with a temperature gun, pointing it at your forehead before they let you in the school, which sounds kind of crazy, but if a fever is one of those indicators, my question becomes, what can you foresee as being precautions that are going to have to be taken for when the War Memorial Building opens, for when the arena reopens, for when the schools reopen, for when any of these large-scale venues that happen within the city? For us at the poor little old Trent House here in Trenton, we're one of the cultural entities here in the city. Frank and I both sit on the board of the Trent House. Money coming into that is done by people who come in to donate and who come to our programs. All the other things, Ellerslie, all the other things around, Passage Theater. How do you foresee people having to protect or modify their infrastructure so that those things can survive? And is there money coming in any of the grants that are coming in, any of the money that's coming from the state, federal government, anywhere? Is there money coming that's going to be available that will help small cultural institutions within the city of Trenton rebound from this so that they have a possibility to go forward? Because it's not just the restaurants and the bars that are struggling right now. It's all of your cultural institutions within the city. Any place you're going to have to congregate people, are there going to be temperature checks at the door? Are people going to be sitting further away from each other? How are we going to handle that? And what money do you see? What money can be pursued? Who can the constituents, the residents of the city of Trenton, write letters to or submit requests to that money and funding be sent to us?
Yeah, these are the mega trends that have to be melded with urban planning. And it's really important to see where the trends are going and how you can follow them and best prepare for the future. It's as we sit here now in this crisis, a lot of us can't understand why didn't we plan on this before. One of the things is in the $2 trillion packet that the government just passed, we're a city less than 500,000, so we won't have a direct pipeline to that $2 trillion. Nonetheless, those dollars will go to the state and then they'll trickle down to the counties and then the counties will then redistribute it. So we'll be looking with Mercer County to ensure that federal dollars do indeed land on our doorstep. We're going to need those dollars to renovate some of these buildings for temporary emergency housing. We're going to need the federal dollars to increase testing. We're going to need the federal dollars to create real alternative emergency treatment centers. And then after this virus is over, not only will we keep some of those assets for the next wave, but the other ones we hope, like the Y, we can turn into economic opportunities for improving the downtown.
So those assets that we talked about, the medical arts building, the Y and things like that, are those city-owned buildings now, or will the city have to acquire them in order for them to be turned around in that way?
There's been a lot of abandonment, and I guess fortunately some of them own back taxes, so the city is in a position to seize some of them. The important thing is we don't want those buildings. We want to return them to private industry so that they pay taxes. Remember, the government doesn't pay property taxes, as we know all too well from the state.
Pilot is another one of those bad words.
So we need those public-private relationships, but The reason why people don't want those buildings is because they're in such disrepair. But if right now we get FEMA to help us repair those buildings, they'll be marketable buildings once this is over.
How do the residents, how do we get them to help you make that happen?
The best is to continue the practice of social distancing, to not feel that this is a field day somehow in Cadwallader Park. That's the reason why we drove trucks in the entrances. Too many people are not taking this seriously. The governors in the states like Nebraska who now feel that they shouldn't be quarantined, this is exactly what they should be doing now because the coronavirus hasn't hit them. If they feel that social norms should return sooner than later, they're going to be in just as bad a shape as we are now. So the citizens need to do as much as possible to protect themselves.
Well, Mayor, again, the coronavirus happens to all of us. Rain falls on everyone, the rich and the poor, the black, the white. Everyone gets affected by the things that are societal. So the question becomes, what do we do from that? So I'm going to give you this final opportunity. We're going to probably sign off now so we can get you back out doing the things that you need to do. But what I'd like to do is give you this final opportunity to speak to each one of the specific wards of the city, to speak to each one of the individual communities within the city, and give them your specific message about what you want from them. Anything different for any given community, or is it all going to be universal? Say what you need to say, get it out to everyone, and we'll make sure that this gets shared.
Well, you still have a neighbor and you still have children who need nourishment. The free meals that children were used to, getting their breakfast and their lunch, have to still be distributed. We're actually looking for some volunteers who want to help distribute, but also check up on your neighbors. If you know there's an elderly person on your block who lives alone, please get their number to just check on them every day. Also, to make sure that they get food and educational opportunities for a lot of the children. Let's face it, not every parent is good at homeschooling. And if you have special talents, we want to try to somehow share them. We're working with Comcast about having a temporary station so that school kids can get their lesson plan on TV in addition to on the internet. A lot of the citizens have ideas that we don't even think of. Feel free to give us a call. 989-3888 is our coronavirus hotline.
Is there an email address they can use as well?
mayorsoffice@trentonnj.org.
Well, Mayor, I want you to stay focused on what you have to do. I'm grateful to Frank and to Christina for opening up New Pod City for us to have the opportunity to talk about this. And again, I'm going to stay focused on staying as far away from you as I possibly can.
Please do.
I like you, brother, but again, we want to thank the mayor of Trenton, New Jersey, Mr. Reed Gussiora, for coming in and sitting down with the Infinitely Focused podcast and with the people here from Trenton Waves. They've been very gracious in letting me have this time to speak with you, Mayor, and I appreciate you coming in.
Big elbows up.
Absolutely, elbows up. All right, well, thank you, Mayor. One of the things that I want to talk about right now, coming out of that interview, is just one of the words that I used when I was asked to speak after what happened at Art All Night. One of the words that I used was inspire.
Okay.
And inspire, respiration is one of the things that people are having a problem with, that's breathing in and breathing out.
Right.
Inspiration means to breathe into someone, to give them breath, to breathe into their ideas.
Yeah.
And one of the things that inspired me from what the mayor talked about was the potential for there to be more development that comes out of this on the other side of this. Yes, we're going to have some hard times. We can acknowledge that. But on the other side of this, if the city gets these assets that it can utilize and these public-private partnerships that it can use for the betterment of the city, I think that on the other side of this, the restaurants and the establishments that come out of this on the other side of it will come out of it better, stronger, and with a better future, and that we will have an opportunity to frequent the places that we love, and we will have an opportunity to gather together again at a time in the future where we don't have to have these specific concerns.
Amen.
Yeah. We're Trenton, man. Nothing stops us.
Right.
Really, nothing's going to stop us.
Right.
I mean, Christina, closing remarks?
Well, I totally agree with you. I want to reiterate that what was meant for evil will be turned for good here. And it's going to take us to the other side, even bigger and better than we even could ever imagine. Because nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. That's what I built my life on. And that's what I hope to send a message out there to you people who are or maybe feeling afraid or feeling, you know, alone. Absolutely. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. That's the strategy. You don't want to fall into that fear. Find somebody. You have access now to a lot of social media and stuff. Mm-hmm. Use it to connect with people. Pick up the phone. Yeah. And talk to somebody. Correct. Use your voice and be social in any way you possibly can without meeting and having a party. try and support the local businesses. A lot of them are staying open, thank God, to service you in a respectful Correct. Way that they can. Order dinner out, bring home takeout. We're trying to do that at least twice a week.
I'm going to do that myself. I've done a lot of takeout, but I've actually gone and picked things up. I might order some takeout and just have it delivered.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're, Smokehouse, Tiny People's Bakery, Pupusera.
The Trenton Eat Local Club has made a concerted effort to put it out there that we're going to try and patronize a new restaurant every week. So this past week was Smokehouse. Everyone has been on board with that, and I love the Trenton spirit, and that spirit is you're not going to get us down. You try to put us down, you try to keep us down, but it's not going to work. We're just going to pull together and we're going to work together any way that we can, which is legal and which is right and which is safe, and we're going to support each other.
Absolutely.
With our money, with our time, with our prayers, with whatever we each other need. So I would just say, cities out there, you need to take a look at Trenton and see what we're doing. Absolutely. Because we're coming out of this bigger, stronger, mm-hmm. and better than ever. Right. Nothing is impossible.
All right. Communities, all communities of faith, of race,
right.
Of religion,
right.
Of whatever, should be coming together and supporting each other. Everyone should be, everything has moved online, and so you should be able to find a connection to any That's of right. those practices That you carry or don't carry, no matter what it is, whether you don't have a practice at all. That is still a practice, and you can find those who follow that belief, who can give you the support that you need. If you're a rugged individualist, then be that. But if you're not, if you're one of those people that needs to connect with a community, there are communities out there that should be available to you that you can reach out to through social media. This whole thing has not been about what's happening to us, because it's going to happen to all of us. The rain is going to fall on everyone. The question becomes what you do. Grab your umbrella. Stand a couple feet away from each other and get ready for when the sunshine comes back out on the other side of it. Because the sunshine will come out on the other side of it. We just have to be prepared for that. And I'm glad that the mayor took time to tell us some of the things that have been challenging to him, but also to give a little bit of hope in talking about what's going to come out on the other side of it and how he plans to drive revenue into the city and drive students into different careers and get buildings that are going to be usable for future purposes that are going to help the city and help the residents of all of the wards of the city,
Absolutely.
Not specifically those who have the money to be able to afford them right now. Right.
Yeah, this is definitely a light in the fire that is getting the ball rolling to properties that have been sitting vacant now are going to be
Correct.
Revitalized and developed.
Correct. And those of you who didn't see him on the Facebook Live feed that they ran for a little while just don't know how his smile has gone, and I can't wait to see that smile back on
It'll
his face.
It'll be back, yes.
It'll be back. It'll be
so
back. All of us will be back.
Dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really
I really, really, am, really am so glad that we have him as our mayor right now, that we have someone who's out and active. I mean, he had to leave us to go on to another appointment, which is great. And which, again, I want him focused. I want him infinitely focused on the challenges that face the city, but I want him also infinitely focused on what's going to happen when we come out of this dark cloud,
the future.
Right? Now.
Right. Yeah.
And as an uncredited thing, just so you know, is that the one Miss Crystal Feliciano was actually in the room.
I know.
And Peterson's breaking news.
Yes. Yeah.
I was going to bring them in, but the mayor had another appointment. I got a little discombobulated. Yes. So sorry, Crystal.
This is kind of done. Peterson. This is kind of done like off the seat of our pants.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
So we sorry, Crystal.
This came out of one. I listened to a session. I reached out to Frank. Frank said, "Sounds fantastic." I reached out to Reed. His people put this together, and the agenda kind of flowed from what we thought it was going to be to where it ended up. And we're glad that it had an opportunity to do that, but we're also glad that we have an opportunity on the backside of this just to say, we're going to come out of this. We're going to be we're going to be better on the other side of
That's
it.
That's right.
The city of Trenton, the shape of the city of Trenton will be that Trenton will continue to make and the world will continue
Bigger,
to
better,
take.
Smaller, faster, smaller.
And the Ferris wheel is coming. The Whedon wheel.
The Whedon wheel.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Excellent.
Now we're going to get all that money. We can
build
it.
Fantastic.
That's right.
Well, speaking on behalf of the Infinitely Focused Podcast
Thank
and
you,
Trenton
sir.
Waves, this has been yet another dual episode
dual.
Of said shows.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Sasso Peoples out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves Podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.